the voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness.
Greetings from Zion. You're listening to a message by Pastor Ita of God's Lighthouse. As you listen, we pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.
Thank you, Lord God. Let us burn for you.
Yes,
the house on a hill. Thank you. Open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our mouths. Lord God, laita brade kunda, living oil like and the brade shun na brade katala handa bra. The river of life run through here. Neva ishivaradu ya brade kunda, let all drink. Arikunda brade shun, revive us, Lord God, by your power. Show us your grace. Wonderful things are spoken of you, Lord God. City of God, let your honor be great. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Let me encourage us as much as possible. I know we don't compel people to stand often. Rarely, very rarely. 1% or 2% of the time will you be told, stand to your feet, but as much as you can, learn to stand, learn to lift your hands, learn to reverence the Lord with even your posture. Posture does matter. I'd like us to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. We continue to look at the seven churches. We'll continue from verse 18. To the angel of the church in Thyatira, write the following. This is the solemn pronouncement of the Son of God, the one who has eyes like a fiery flame and whose feet are like polished bronze. I know your deeds, your love, faith, service, and steadfast endurance. In fact, your more recent deeds are greater than your earlier ones. Wow. But I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel who calls herself a prophetess and by her teaching deceives my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent, but she is not willing to repent of her sexual immorality. Look, I am throwing her onto a bed of violent illness and those who commit adultery with her into terrible suffering, unless they repent of their deeds, of her deeds, sorry. Furthermore, I will strike her followers with a deadly disease, and then all the churches will know that I am the one who searches minds and hearts. I will repay each one of you what your deeds deserve. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, all who do not hold to this teaching, who have not learned the so-called deep secrets of Satan. To you I say, I do not put any additional burden on you. However, hold on to what you have until I come. And to the one who conquers and who continues in my deeds until the end, I will give him authority over the nations. He will rule with them with an iron rod, and like clay jars, he will break them to pieces. Just as I have received the right to rule from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. The one who has an ear had better hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who has an ear had better hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who has an ear had better hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The book of Proverbs chapter 20 verse 12 says, the ear that hears and the eye that sees, the Lord has made them both. The ear that hears and the eye that sees, the Lord has made them both. Exodus 4:11 says, the Lord said to him, speaking to Moses, who gave a mouth to man? Or who makes a person mute, that's unable to speak, or deaf, unable to hear, or seeing, or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Not too long ago, we saw this again, that the ability to see and the ability to hear isn't human. It is the Lord who makes someone able to see or blind. It actually is a spiritual thing to be able to see. So whenever you hear in all those letters to the seven churches, at the end he said, let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You cannot respond in pride. You cannot say, of course I hear. We only hear because we are given ears to hear. Ears to hear, we just saw in Proverbs 20 verse 12, are from the Lord. And of course, you know, this cannot be referring to natural ears. The two flaps stuck on the sides of your head. These are spiritual ears. Let him who has an ear. If the Lord does not give it, you can't have it. And how do you get something from the Lord? Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone that asks, I like to say King James, everyone that asketh, receiveth, and shall be given. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, the door shall be opened. I should say it, open it. The ability to receive something from God is primarily given through a humble heart asking for it. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we must draw near with our consciences sprinkled with clean water. Their hearts full of hope and assurance. You have to trust that this God loves us enough to want to give that which is good. Say, which of you ask for fish and is given a snake? If your children don't suffer such horrible things, why would I, God? This is in Luke chapter 13. The Lord was reasoning, 11. How would I do that to you? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more I? That's Luke 11:13. If you then, although you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What's the job of the Holy Spirit? To lead you into all truth. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the one that empowers you to see and hear. He said when he comes in John chapter 14, he will teach you all things. He's the one that touches your eyes. He gives you ability to see, the ability to hear, the ability to understand. Therefore, the greatest thing you must seek on the earth cannot be well-being or money or any such thing. It has to be the ability to understand, to see and hear what the Spirit is saying. And take saying it to the churches. You know, there are people everywhere that cut away from the church. They say the church is not good. The church has bad people. And I agree. I probably am more grieved about that than very many people. But the truth is that the Spirit is speaking to the churches. The world does not even have the capacity and the instruments to gather what the Spirit is saying. But even in the church, there are those that have ears and those that don't. It's always been so. Every phase of God's dealings with man, every time God is entering a new phase, you know, under the Passover age, the time between, well, when Moses inaugurated the law, shortly after, sometime about after Abraham, almost 500 years thereafter, a few hundred years, actually just about three, counting from when Abraham got the promise to the time they came, I was 430 years. Not from the time Abraham died, but from when the promise came, and he lived for many more years. So, more accurately, 430 was the time from the promise, all the way forward to, now, going forward from Moses to the Lord Jesus was the Passover age. The Passover age. Okay? And God, we've seen this many times, God puts his hand in there. He calls us out. He calls people out. He calls, the Bible says, I've called my firstborn out of Egypt. The churches are the called out ones. Ecclesia in the Hebrew is the called out ones. In the Greek, the Ecclesia. And they are called out of Egypt. And he tells them, you'll be a holy nation to me. A royal priesthood. All that stuff you see in 1 Peter. He told it to them. Told it to Israel first. And he brings them out. And then he looks down into that group of people by the next age, between from the time of Jesus forward, and calls out another group. And that's when he leaves behind a whole lot of Jews. So the Jews were there saying, we are the special people on earth. We've been called out from the world, all Adam backwards. Adam forward to, you go backwards to, from Adam to Abraham's time. Everybody is normal. But from Abraham, the Bible calls him Abraham the Jew, the Hebrew. He's taken. And he becomes special. But after that, Jesus shows up, collects some. He says in Luke chapter 12, he says, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What about all the other Jews? You do know by then that the Israelites were gone. All right? You had 10 tribes. You had 12 tribes, 12 sons of Jacob, and 10 were shipped off by Assyria. Gone. 100 years later, the remaining two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, Benji, the younger, last brother, son of my right hand, that's what his name means, praise. Praise, son of my right hand. They were left. The same thing. God is always doing this. Many don't understand it. So let me take a few minutes and explain. Because again, without eyes to see, people never see what's happening. And once you can't see, you can't understand. And when you don't understand, you cannot cooperate, or typically you're left behind. If the people of Noah's time had seen what was coming, they would be on that boat. They would have said, Noah, may we build 10 of these things. There's a movie I watched long ago, 2012. When, according to the Mayan calendar, they expected the earth to end. That should make everyone pause and ponder about which calendar they are following. Because here we are. So, I hope I'm not wrong. Yes, I think I'm right. I think it was called 2012. And they made those, they call them arcs, literally. Those big things, they contracted it out to the Chinese. They built them. World leaders, famous people, rich people, you bought a spot on it. You know, they call them arcs. Do you remember? Yes, they call them arcs. They made it so that when the floods come, keep them abreast. And they didn't build one, they built many. That's what they would have done. If they had understood what was coming with Noah, they would have gone, Noah, a carouser, anything you say, everybody would have been constructing. Apakam, pakam, all over this earth would have been a construction site. At least the area they occupied. But no, the Bible says on the day the flood came and swept them away, they were marrying. The woman came out of the house. And died. The man being tortured. Nothing. All those people that say, if I don't marry in this world, there's one thing God, you must never not do for me. I must enjoy marriage. Don't be angry. You know, some of you start hitting me, you'll be from today. Now say, that man, I always knew there was something off. I knew it. It's against marriage. No, I'm not against marriage. I'm pro-marriage. All for marriage. I'm here to save your marriage, even in the future, when it happens. However, all that mindset that lives for certain things, that that says that if there's one thing God must not joke with, just hold yourself. Because there are things that are far more important. Imagine getting to in the flood carried away. So if the reason someone ought to have been on that boat but said, Noah, I would have joined you, but you see, I can't break that guy's heart. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Noah, you have to understand this. I can't break that guy's heart. I can't break that girl's heart. Let's just finish the wedding. We'll talk. I'll come and see you. We'll talk. There was no Noah to talk to. There was just water everywhere. Just water. The water is coming. The rains are coming. An outpouring is coming. And there's nothing we are going to be able to do about it other than prepare. If we are wise, we'll build an ark. Every age, every segment of God's dealings, look at it. Follow me. You know, if you are there and you can see that diagram there, you can look at it here. It's smaller on the screen, but you can see it. God reaches into the chaos, the age of chaos, and extracts Adam to start something again. He had already reached in a general way and put out Noah. Anyone looking at the Bible has to agree at some point that God is a bit picky. Haven't you realized? This whole idea that God goes with anything, how many times must something happen before someone has eyes to see and ears to hear? Isn't it obvious that God does not accept everything? God is picky. Why? You know why? His name is holy. You know what holy means? Set apart. Separated. That's what holy means. People think holy means clean. In a sense, yes. But the word in and of on itself means separated, consecrated, separated, kept aside. Don't touch that stool. The pastor sits on it when he's preaching. You want to use it and climb with your shoes? Are you okay? This one, couldn't you find another one? It is set aside for a purpose. That's the lectern that is used for preaching. That's the cup that my father uses. Didn't you see other cups there? Didn't you see that one look different? You saw 10 of the other types. You saw this one unique one that looks almost golden. That's the one you went and picked. It's set apart for your father's use. That's what holy means. God's name, the Lord, his name is holy. It's not just that he is holy. His name is holy. The angels in front of him, the cherubim, instead of him, are calling his name all the time. Holy, 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 holy. And they are not being forced. So you talk him. If you don't say it, when you see him, your mouth, you just shape. Holy, holy, holy. You can't help it. He's so distinct, unique, separated from us. There's only one response to God. If you can see him small. Therefore, he has always been looking. You read in Genesis chapter 2 that man was naming the animals and he did not find any that was like him. Because man was distinct, made in God's image and after his likeness. Man is made to be holy. Peter tells you that very clearly in 1 Peter chapter 1, be ye holy as I am holy. But Peter was just quoting from the book of Leviticus, be ye holy as I am holy. He didn't say a new thing. Almost three quarter of what we call the New Testament are quotations, lots of quotations. I think I'm off on that, but I wouldn't be wrong. Say about half of the New Testament in some way is a quotation of the Old Testament. So it's not like they created new things. They just painted on what had been built under the Old Covenant. God said, love your neighbor as yourself in the Old Covenant. Be ye holy in the Old Covenant. He said all these things because that's what he says to the people he separates. So every time he separates a new people, he tells them the same thing, like a batch of students passing through any school. Every batch that passes through is more or less told the same thing. They may behave differently. There may be a set that was all suspended or rusticated or expelled because as a group, they misbehaved. Like a good school is always looking for that set that will make them proud. That batch of people that will stand out, that will make everyone glad that they came. That's what God has been doing. Looking for those people. So, God reaches, like Adam even copied it. All the animals passed before him. But that was a prophecy of Jesus. Adam, 1 Corinthians 15 tells you he's the first Adam. The Lord Jesus is the last Adam. Those are the words used. The last Adam, the last man. There's not going to be another kind of man made after the Lord Jesus. Adam first was a kind of man. A kind of man. Adam the first. Adam the last is a kind of man. The first Adam was a living soul. The last Adam is a life-giving spirit. Okay? They are different kinds. There haven't been any other kind. All of us in an old man nature are first Adam types. Adam the first types. The life-giving one, second one, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord from above. And he shows up and says, hey, do you guys want to be in my nature? I can make you a life-giving spirit. The other guy was a living soul that can upgrade you. I have an upgrade. You know, a picture the Lord gave me of how the upgrades have, you know, and he's going like, this is Bill Gates' first effort, making a floppy disk. 128 kilobytes. It was revolutionary. Whoa. Anyone read these things? 128 kilobytes, they succeeded in accumulating the amount of information. 128 KB. I know some of you are like, what's that? It's actually an amount of information. Floppy disk used to be like that. I mean, I was in the university when they carried floppy disks around. That thing was 1.4 megabytes. 1.44, okay, to be more specific. They're using it. Look at now, someone will pull out one flash like this and be using words like Tera. Do you have any idea of what that is? That's how far we've moved. It's exactly the same with the difference between how we are now and the last Adam, the new man. Told you that thing, with that body, you walk through walls like it's nothing, like you go right through. The same way you deem spirits to be, that's how it is. But with a body, that's what's special, because spirits don't have bodies. We do. Now imagine, the Bible calls it a spiritual body. A body that's like a spirit. You swing it through, you walk through this seat. Like, at every time, it can just think spirit, but think body. That's the upgrade. That's what the last Adam is. He's not just they just touched it up. No. This being has the ability to communicate with heaven and earth. What do you want? You need something? Okay, I'll grab. So how many do you need? Two? All right, let me grab two cakes from heaven. No, it's not an angel alone that has to bring it. I mean, I'll just wait. Pop, pop, grab two. Come here. eat that. That will carry you guys for like 40 days. See, you won't need to eat. Really? I just described something that will be happening. This is real stuff. With the upgraded body, with the upgraded nature. So God really does want to do this for us. We are here suffering a lot. But that's why Jesus has, the Lord, God, has been reaching in constantly, trying to extract. And every time they tend to do something funny. But this process he knew it was coming. So he reaches in, drags out Abraham, and begins a new thing. He reaches in thereafter, in the time of the Lord Jesus, drags out what he called little flock. Called them little flock. He understood that they will not be many. For all those that want many, I told this church for many years. Let me remind, because in the last maybe 8 months, I haven't said it, and we've had new people since then. One of the ways I know, I have many ways of knowing what God is doing. Apart from revelations, visions, dreams, and all those kinds of leadings, I have a sanctified, scripture, refined, analytical abilities. Once many people are running after something, it's all so popular. Little flock. Multitude. Multitude. Little flock. I just do a few calculations. Pack, 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 pack. If you see the question mark on top of that group, that's big like this. Because the whole earth does not line up behind God. He always extracts few. It is always so. It is the nature of God. That doesn't mean huge crowds follow Jesus. We saw this a few days ago. Was it on Sunday? Huge crowds follow Jesus, and he turned to them and said, let me tell you the truth. If you don't, any man wants to be my disciple, a follower of me, a real follower of me, what the Bible calls a disciple, which is one who follows. Let him, no, sorry, let me not change it. This is in Luke 14, verse 26, downwards, from 25. He said, if he does not hate his father, mother, brother, sister, children, wife, depending on which rendition you're reading, Matthew 19 and all that, same story. Even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Because these crowds were coming, and he was trying to say, hey, hey, guys, yeah, I know, I feel like, yeah, awesome, awesome. Did a few things there. But listen to me. You see all this goodness, all this stuff I'm doing for you? You know, there's a difference between crowd and follower. Disciple. Imitators. One who learns from the word Greek, math. If you want to be a disciple, you know, years ago, I mean, it's long. I'm talking about before God picked the leaders, original core leaders for this house, before it, people were on holidays. It was December 29th, 30th, 31st. You know, I shared this just the other day. I was giving you a short history. And the Lord said in 2:16, and the Lord said to me, seven men, 7 days, you know, go aside. And I prayed, asked, and then got seven names, eight actually, and he said seven, even eight shepherds. So I knew I was on track. And people were in their houses sending, they have no idea, they don't know anything about anything. I'm sending a message saying, I had a dream, I had a revelation, or a vision, or whatever it was. And it was like, pastor, that's myself, took, he used to call me barrister. Barrister took some people aside. And it was like it was a farm. Hear the kinds of things they said. They had never been to where we hold our retreats. They didn't know anything about it. See, it was like it was a farm, but it was also a house. I'm serious. You can look up these prophetic words. I mean, we record things, we write out things. So there are some. It was like it was a farm, and it was like a house. They didn't know Dormitor fans. They had never been there. They knew nothing about these things. And he took them aside, and there were some people, but he took aside some. You know, I'm combining words. I mentioned at least 4 or 5 people from the first group of leaders. And I was teaching them maths. And it was like high-level maths, like, you know, it was long after. And we saw again, you know, I think it was before the match retreat, yeah. And it was with a long king. You know, it wasn't me. Someone else was with a long king. Military personnel unmoved with other soldiers because he was high ranking. And they would misbehave. And when you misbehave or flinch, they say, lift your hands and they flog you. It was like training. And when you flinch and you resist, they start again from the beginning. It's good to be remembering these things. It's good to know the prophetic history. I like to share it once in a while. So you should understand. It was hard. Said they flogged it. She couldn't believe it. Like, what on earth is this? And it was like there wasn't a choice, really, provided you were there. But later on, you know, during one of the first retreats, first or second, I think it was March 2017, I saw, it was a note in my Bible, has some studies like that. And I saw Matt. Matthetes, I've known that for a very long time, you know, is a word in Greek for disciple. But it said from the Greek, Matt. So you didn't need to tell me why in the Revelations they saw me teaching Matt. I was teaching discipleship. And I just mentioned this not too long, within the last few days, that we emphasize on discipleship here because it's what we are called to do. I am not saying every church is not meant to be a discipleship training center. Jesus' command was not go out into the world and make believers or converts. He said go out into the world and make disciples of every nation. It was discipleship Jesus asked to be. Why? Because it's the disciples that are going to be the ones that in our time are called out. So from the time of Jesus forward was the time, Passover age, where you extract disciples. What do disciples do? They learn from their master. They learn. They are meant to be taught. A student, a learning one, one who learns by following. That's what the word disciple means. It doesn't mean one who believes. A believer and a disciple at a diverse passes, you've heard that clearly. A believer and a disciple are not the same thing at all. Am I sorry? Well, I'm sorry. I don't like disappointing people and making people feel bad. But this is not said enough. We act as though, well, he's a Christian, so you're a believer. Awesome. Great. Step one. You're not a disciple because you're a believer. You're in the outer court. You're not in the holy place. Stage one. There are 3 stages at least. Outer court, holy place, and holy of holies. Disciples have accepted the work of the blood. They have been justified. Believers have accepted the work of the blood. They've been justified by faith in their spirits. Stage one. All. They've partaken in the Passover Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. They have come to know the way into the outer court by asking that the righteousness which is from Jesus be given to them when they were called. All stage one. And people go to stage one and say, I've arrived. It's complete. You can add nothing. You can remove something. What could be sadder? This is what I mean when I talk about eyes to see. Let him that has ears hear what the Spirit says. You know, children arrive like boss baby. Hey, who's home? I'm here. And a little baby in a suit arrived. You know, that animation is ungodly. It's against the will of God for someone that small to be wearing a suit. It's unacceptable. In my sight, I'm sure in all of creation sight, you know, a baby cannot arrive fully formed. Can't know what, how can you, only in the movies, are babies in charge. They are babies. You don't know a thing. That is nearly stage zero. It's not even two stages that you say, okay, we are waiting for the next. If you are like me, and almost all of you are, all you had all your life are Pentecost, yes, final regions of God's will. It's not even what we've been doing since Jesus died. It's stage two. We are just bracing to enter stage three. And all of this was always in the scriptures. But without eyes to see, can't see. If God doesn't give you eyes to see, you can't see. Stage two is the holy place. You get hope there as you undergo sanctification. And you know you can't be sanctified without suffering. You're sanctified by fire. There's no sanctification without suffering. This is the stage of learning. The other one is the stage of being birthing. The next stage is a stage of learning. The child is growing. You learn the truth here because you're seeking for it. Hey, this is God's promise. All who seek will find. Do you know why people don't find? They are not seeking. Never look at someone. Let me tell you one of the things that's guaranteed. I know it from experience, and many others have known the same thing. You're hungry for God. You want more than you have. You desire God. You want more. You want more. You want more. You're discontented. I'm not learning. I'm not understanding. These things they are saying don't fit. Too many questions unanswered. Stay hungry. Yes, I know sometimes you can be in that state for 15, 20 years, 30. That's the part where we almost get like, God, how could you, like, you know I am hungry for more, and you did nothing. Well, I don't think you win any case against God. But if you spend that time studying your Bible, he will begin to show you lots of amazing things. But do you know what else he'll do? He'll lead you to a place like this. He'll lead you to a book. He used to do it for me. I was hungry. I was a hungry soul that had been born again for a good while. And you walk into a bookshop. That book is typically old and abandoned under like that. Very cheap. Because it looks very ugly. It's not a moving book. Nobody knows the name of that author. And you go, you push your head like that, push it down, look there. And you walk over, you pick it. You know, you can even tell the person, this one is not for sale now. Let me carry this one. Let me buy the river. And you say, no. Okay. Sometimes they say, you say, just give something. You find them in some funny bookshops, bookshops with used books, books that people died and bequeathed their stuff to the poor, and it ended up in Nigeria. Those kinds of, it's in a big bookshop, you know, all the nice, shiny books, attractive books, how to make it, seven keys to bliss, all of that. You skip all of that. God will show you things. I had a book. I bought it once. A book once. It was called Disciple. That's the name. Disciple. Don Juan Carlos Ortiz or so. I was so blessed. It was so old and ugly. My heart, wow. Around 1998 or so. 99. I was so blessed. I was so blessed. Disciple. And I read it. One addiction after another. Those are good addictions. And then your heart starts yearning. This is 20 years later. And I've seen those things outworked practically. I've worked them in my own life, worked it out in my own life. And then I've been able to teach others. But it took a long time of imbibing, of desiring, of pressing in. Anyone that has a Bible and a pen and a notebook, even if there's no book, there's nothing. But if there's a sincere heart and you are seeking and you say, Holy Spirit, teach me. If you don't have any place, you can find people. Because what a place like this will do for you, it will fast track you really fast, like way faster. What would have taken you 15 years within a year? I mean, because you're just standing on all these shoulders. You know, and you have the opportunity to ask all sorts of questions. how did I get the answers? Well, many of those answers I give, apart from scripture, searching things out and all that. But the first hints may have come from a book I read, a message I heard. But when did I hear them? I heard them over a very long time. The thing I'm explaining, I may have read it in the Bible today. I may have come to understand it today, but it's built on a foundation of multiple paths. So the advantage of being discipled is that it's like you're just collecting all this free stuff. But you have taken, how would you even know? You walk through a book. I may have seen that book 20 times and not had any interest. And then one of those days, I finally picked it up. I went, wow, I didn't know this is a treasure trove. And I'd be excited. And then you come and ask me a question, and I just tell you something I learned from someone who have walked with God, like you read Kenneth Hagin, and say, I've been in ministry for these 65 years. I've been taking 65 years of someone's study, life experience, boiling it down, and eating at a sitting. In 7 minutes, you just swallowed it. Do you know what that is? Do you know how long it would have taken for you to know that? How many mistakes you would have made, trial and error, trial and error. After a while, you start saying, you still, in spite of even all we hear, you know how you go through things and it starts dawning on you gradually. Oh, do you know I'm noticing a pattern? Has it happened to you? Have you noticed a pattern? You've gotten wiser with time, but how long? And a lot of it is just easy. You could have taken 20 years to learn that thing. So God in his goodness for every successive generation, he would like to make it easier. Take from the past, Matthew 13:52. Everyone instructed in the way of the kingdom of heaven is like a scribe who brings out things, both old and new. So there's new stuff, but there has to be old too, because the kingdom did not just, he extracted them. The time of Jesus, disciples, what do disciples do? They learn. In the time of Moses, Passover, he extracted them, took them to Mount Sinai. This is almost totally unknown in the body of Christ. That the reason, what did Moses say to Pharaoh? God said that you should let his people go that they might worship him in the wilderness. 3 days journey. Have you read this before? How did they worship him? When they came there, he said, I will come down to you. Tell them to prepare themselves. Let them bath. Have you read this before? Wash their clothes and stay away from women, their wives. Have you read this? And no one should touch the mountain. He said, in 3 days, I'll descend. Did you read? In 3 days. It hasn't changed. All of it is prophecy. It's telling you. It's all encoded there. He's telling you it's in 3 days. It's in 3 days. It's Hosea chapter 6. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. He's going forth. He's established as the morning. He will come to you like the rain, like the former and the latter rain to the earth. But before verse 3 was verse 2. The Lord has, give me Hosea chapter 6. 1, 2. He tells you he has beaten us. He has smitten us. He will bind us up. After 2 days, he raises us up. On the third day, we will live in his sight. Come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn us and he will heal us. He has wounded us and he will bind up our wounds. Yes, verse 2. He will revive us after 2 days. And on the third day, he raises us up so we can live in his presence. He's told you the same thing. This is the same thing he told Moses. It's after 3 days. It's 3 days. It's not 2 days. It's not Passover and Pentecost. It's Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. It's after 3 days that we are going to rise up and live in his sight. That's why the day of judgment is not at the beginning of the 1,000 years. It's at the end. You don't get judgment when you die. You get judgment at the great white throne judgment, which is at the end of the 1,000 years. It has to be. That's when everyone is raised up. But the 1,000 years before first resurrection is when you raise up the judges for training. That's when you wake up. Those ones that qualified, many are called, but few are chosen. You're chosen through sanctification, second level dimensions. You're chosen through, as you seek the peace of God, seek peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. As you make peace, what you pursue after, peace with God. You don't joke with your peace and God. anything that tries to come between you having peace with God, you say, hey, shift from me. Sin, temptation, distraction, anything. It doesn't matter how good it looks. If it interferes with my ability to have peace with God and man, as much as you didn't need your power. Romans 12. The other, Hebrews 12. Follow peace with all my holiness. Without it, you can't see God. God is seen in the third dimension, in the Holy of Holies. There's no chance. Peace is in the realm of truth. Peace is in the realm of truth. For you to have peace that passes on, that the real peace of God, not as the world gives. That's a kind of peace. Ah, I have peace, so good job. Someone says, ah, you're so blessed. Say, yes, so things are so awesome now. Someone, you can come out, enter your car, which you're not afraid will break down. I mean, you're not waiting for NEPA. Electricity might not be there. You'll be struggling. No. Have my own power, my whole roof, place solar panels. I go out. I'm not afraid of breaking. I mean, my security company is top grade. Go to my office, come back smoothly. I'm not thinking about you. Open the fridge, you eat what you want to eat. Let me help you. I'm gisting for you in the future. Let me just gist that gist. Does any of you know this gist? Let me gist it out. It ends, should I rush to the end? The end is like, yes, so someone can have peace. It's linked to money. That is not the peace Jesus gives. No, this peace is money-based. And it can end in one day, in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, not at the trumpet sound, just in a twinkling of an eye, this peace can end like that. The peace that God gives, this house can fall on this side, fall, in fact, fall on your head, and it's unshaken. It's not a human earth-based peace. It's not based on anything you see or hear. It's a peace that passes understanding. It doesn't. This peace you just described that you have as you're dealing with your friend that you have not seen for 20 years. Where are you? I'm with Total. And you? Ah, I'm with Elf. What about this guy? ExxonMobil. Yeah, he's an assistant manager now. Those guys. Now they chop money now. That kind of gist where people's salaries are 870,000 naira per month. You know, that does not include the other allowances, you know. There's a kind of gist around those kinds of people. You know, there's a kind of joking. There's a kind of laughter. There's a kind of thinking. Because there's a kind of expenditure based on a certain level of income. So you can say, Bergo, it's true. I mean, in this life, it's just for someone to try. Just a good job makes all the difference. Yes, so ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Sounds all cool and fine. And, you know, people live and dream about it. You know that dreamy look I'm seeing on your face is right now? Wake up! Because you see that thing? Like that! Doesn't mean a thing. You have that. And then they tell you, hey, sorry, my wife, I had to rush her. She's been diagnosed with cancer. Everything is still in place. The house is still fine, though. But you can already hear the halls echoing. A dread. Because even though anyone can have cancer, but my point is, that's not the peace of God that passes understanding. For she has no cancer, nothing. But your child is a tout. You've sent him to the best schools. Let's say you're looking for a poor pastor like me. Please, sir, can you speak to my son? Can you pray? You know, I have it now. Throw money at the son. Pa, pa, pa. Let's watch it turn into peace. It has hardly ever been known to turn into peace. I've heard of girls whose fathers are super duper rich and they stand on the road at night. You'll be wondering, like, what's that? Like, how? What does she want? It can't be money. Because the papa gave money. You know, it's when dream money and money. Which one is more? I think money is more. No, money. There's money. That is really much. All are spelled the same, if you're wondering, if you're writing. That's the pronunciation. And they give her a lot of money every month. If she asks for every week, when she stands on the road, at night, for men to carry, like she's a prostitute. What's that? You can't buy this. This piece, you turn around like this, pakam, and all your children know God. All. No police, no follow-up, nothing, nothing. In fact, they are more righteous than you, daddy and mommy. They are more righteous. They are running after God day and night. Can you buy this one? You can't buy it. And there are people that will exchange everything for that. Or maybe it's because they've not been willing to exchange it. That's why the child is like that. People going on holidays with children, casually just giving a child a bundle of take. You can go shopping. You just pull out like this. The boy is like almost in secondary school. Casually pull two bundles. 100,000. Back up. Casually. It's not with straining. It's not like... Doesn't give peace. I was talking with someone that was at the American University of Nigeria, Yola. Those children, they come with their Mercedes Benz. From whom? You know, there are people that when they are leaving home, they go like, Daddy, I'm going to take the other car. Not driving that car. I'm not driving the other one again. What's wrong with that Accord now? Is it not just last year's mother? So I'm not driving again. I'm tired. The child is like 18 and a half, 20. I'm not driving that one again. I'm not saying this one. I just know. If you know how the world works, you know it's not. There are people that is normal. I'm not taking that one again. I want the Mercedes. You know, it's more stable. And ask your mother, nice car. That's casually. Your mother has like 7 now. That's if she doesn't want to drive one of her husband's own. Or husband's own. So you take, mommy, I want that Mercedes. Leave me, Joe, and you do all the small, younger, big, and then all that. Okay, but I won't allow you to drive all the way here. So this person will come with you. Yusuf will come with you, then he'll come back. Yusuf will go drive you down. You share, you know, and then can I even bribe Yusuf outside the gate to make sure it doesn't come in. Yusuf, take, go back. Yusuf, take. And you drive, enter by yourself. Hannah, the girl said that many of them, they are on drugs. They are on drugs. Like they come back at night. Their lives are hopeless. They have money like this. I'm telling you, there are people that you're looking for 5,000 in your account. There are people that have hundreds of thousands and millions in their accounts. Children, your age. Millions. There are people that have uncles, and when they give them money, it's hundreds of thousands. Not their parents, not the ones that are responsible for them. It's just how the world is. Don't feel bad. Your little flock material. Don't feel bad. You'll be grateful to God, because nobody tells you your life will be good with any of that. Who tells you your life will be any good with that? Unhappy people. Unhappiness is typically attached to dollars. It's very hard, you know, picking people that are high on everything because they can afford it. If they could not afford it, the small money they have, they'll be saving it to buy milk, to add to the Milo and sip their Gary. Has anyone ever got high on Gary? It's a Gary high. So you think they did this guy now? Now that Gary is simple. Input milk. The thing come too much. Can't they do anyhow? There's no such problem. The worst the poor person can smoke and have is marijuana. Which you can plant in your backyard. That's the most small high. It's not good, though. You still knock your head, but at least, maybe get free a bit easier. But when you're on heroin, cocaine, crack cocaine, see something starting with crack. You still went after it. Is that a crack? As if cocaine is not bad enough. Crack cocaine. It will crack your head. Crack your soul. Crack you. Crack you up. I was being educated how a tiny, how many grams, small like this, small, about 16,000. 16,000 naira. Collect small like this. You see it in movies. Apart from that thing, getting your nose dirty. Okay, fine, you wipe it off, fine. But it looks like I'm responsible for a grown... Well, anyways. None is real, it's my nose, it's chipping. It's right. It's not in any way connected to that demonstration. And then you have this, and then you're walking around, everything is 5'5". You know how people take something and it makes everything cool. Then they just sit down and look very intense. What on earth? Sorry, Johnny. I wish you didn't have money. But you were saying, I better get trans there. Trans. You'll be saving what you have. When you hit 16,000, you go and buy that very good pair of leather shoes you've been hoping to buy for 12,000. That's what you do with it. You now go and snoop it all into your lungs. I want to. You're good. What? But when you have steady cash rolling in, in torrents. Ah, daddy, there's something else. Ah, daddy, mommy. You don't even need to talk to them because your bank account is fat. So you have temptations that ordinary people don't even have. They don't even know that the temptations you face exist. Thank God for poverty. You know, I've told you guys of temptations you didn't know existed. Now here, you know, I can't teach in our temptation. There are temptations you didn't even know. There's a problem like that. Your life was just happy. Your greatest temptation was what you did with 50 megabytes of data. That's your temptation. And I went to YouTube. I shouldn't have. I now wasted time. You know, just had extra 1.2 gig. What if it's limitless? No limit. Total access all the time. You know, I've tried to mentor a few heavy. My heart goes out to them in a special way. So sad. They are not even too heavy, just heavy, small. Their problems are a bit more significant than a poor person's problem. Poor people's problems are smaller. You know, like a poor person now, small problems. Big money, big problems. I want everyone to know that if you're hungry, God will pick you. And if he chooses you, like he did with Abraham, Isaac, everything is choosing. Do you want to be chosen? Seek the truth. Seek it. Buy the truth. Sell it not. Don't seek the way. Please, you ask for the way. Ask for the ancient paths. You ask. But truth, you seek. Use this seeking. Seeking is not asking. Seeking requires humility. You're searching for something. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman who lost a coin. She had 10. This is a discontented. So how many of you ready and say, what is it now? Don't you have 9? How many of you remember? You used to think, you see all these busybody people with someone's money. Is it your money? What you don't know is that was a lot of money. Yeah, you have to understand. Some of that money is equivalent to thousands of naira for you. You think it's because they said a coin. Showing that one denarii was, or a denarius was, a day's wages. Okay? So, a day's wages today is about 2,500 naira. So it's money. And when they say Mary broke the alabaster box and poured it on the head of the Lord Jesus, and it was up to a year's wages, you know, just multiply your 2.5 times 360. You have an idea of what she bought, how much that perfume cost. It's a lot of money. If you think like that, you understand the Bible a bit better. You won't just think, what was there? It's a lot of money. And that's low earnings. That's low earnings. The one for someone who has not been educated, really. Person earning 2,025. That's unskilled, skilled labor, but blue collar work. Not white collar. Whose total might be more than that. So that woman had all those coins, but she lost one. This is a picture of someone who is not satisfied, and she's bending over, taking a lamp, searching, taking the word of God, looking, humbling herself, going down, sweeping through, searching, searching. I promise you, if you search like that, you might search for many years. You might find piece by piece, but eventually you will find. The problem is that there are very few seekers, very few. People are contented with Saul as king. Saul was anointed king on the day of Pentecost. He's a picture of Pentecostalism. Saul, did I say Paul? Saul, King Saul, the King Saul of the tribe of Benjamin, son of Kish, was anointed on the day of Pentecost. Just to let you know, he's a Pentecostal king. Why do you think he did all the nonsense he did? The land, the prophets prophesied to John, so they were prophesying. Told you all those things in the Old Testament, all of them were telling you about today, all. They inform you. If you look at them, you can know what will happen. When you see us speak with confidence the way we do sometimes, because it's all written down already. The future is told. What is, has been. Ecclesiastes tells you. What will be is, it already is. You can be certain of some things. There are things you are not sure of. But as Peter said, 2 Peter 1, that he would do good to give heed to it. The scriptures, the prophecies of scripture, like a light in a dimly lit place, in a dark place. He would be wise. Go, find the prophecies of scripture. You can be as sure as they will be tomorrow, that it will come to pass. It's not a shaky prophecy, it's sure. Go into the word of God, you can tell tomorrow. So you want to understand things in the Bible, you don't want to say, well, that's your opinion, well, that's this other pastor's opinion, that one's opinion. Find out. The scriptures prophesied, it will come to pass. How much more when it has prophesied it repeatedly? Multiple pictures are telling you the same thing. You can be assured. This is not human being saying, I dreamt. This is scripture prophesying, and it was given to you from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Every stage, they keep being extracted. And God comes and chooses 12 apostles. Before that, there had been 12 tribes. He always does this. These ones, what did they do? They multiplied. The Bible tells you 70 souls entered Egypt to meet. Have you read this before? And when they came out, 550 men above 20 years of age came out in their armies. Add it for each of those men. Give them one brother and one sister only. They're looking at not less than about 2 million people with parents. One or two. They came in 70. And Jesus sent them out. 12 then he sent them out. Have you heard these things before? They are not just written. Eh? It's not none of them. Moses had how many elders? And how many heads of tribes? Of the families? No errors. Clear. These things are fixed in stone. You don't change them. You don't shift them. You can't adjust them. But every time they multiply, same thing. Jesus says, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. So go and multiply. Repeat the process. Do you understand? But out of nearly maybe 2 million people, how many were fighting men? Are you understanding? Are you sure you understand? When they took a census, did they count? Did they count everyone? Or they counted those that were 20 years above, fighting men? You don't get this. You're almost getting it. When God looks down at the church, he doesn't count everything in it. He looks at the fighting men. If you can just nod and pretend, I might be slightly happy that I taught you something. If you don't nod, I will move on. Thyatira. Keep coming, keep coming. If you just keep coming to this congregation of believers, you will one day in this age, by God's grace, they talk about this thing. Fighting men. They are the one God cares about. You think the little children all joined, they didn't know what was happening. It's the fighting men. It's always the ones of fighting age that God is concerned about what they do. When they misbehave, it affects everyone. Which is why God is so desperate to have fighting men. Not children. This morning we had a brief meeting about some of the projects, the thing that we are working on. And for those of you that were here, you know, unfortunately, after I stopped recording, because that's when, I mean, understand, some of you have to make up your mind, what are you? Who enlists into the army and then says, today I'm not feeling like it? You live on a barracks, they wake you up in the morning, they say, tell the commanding officer, today I don't think I'll come out the way I'm feeling. So I'm just a bit tired. I slept around 11:30. Where? Which army? And you hear someone, today I'm feeling like a soldier. Today I'm feeling like a civilian. Today, tomorrow, today, yesterday. Are we dancing here? If you're in the army, act like a soldier. Act like a soldier all the time. Obey commands. March when you're told, stop when you're commanded. You live to obey instructions. You don't live to think, analyze, disagree. You obey. God says, jump. You don't ask why. You ask how high. Just the military thinking will win wars for you. Because your commanding officer knows things you have no. He has intelligence. I mean military intelligence. He has information. You have no clue. So when he says, take your men, go around, hide, squat behind that tree, carry your guns. You know, why? Tell me why first. I'm not going anywhere. You'll be dead. He owes you no explanation. That's the training of the army. The training in the army is you do what you're told. You don't think it through. This is what disciples are to be. You do what you're told, you don't take it through. You don't ask questions. You may be briefed later. But when he says, up, now, pray. And the time is 1 a.m. You do it. Then later on, find out, do you know by 1 a.m. I'm robbers. Do you know we woke up in the morning? They had killed two of my neighbors at my house. They wanted to enter first. May you not be drained. What I mean is, may you not learn from experience. The advantages of being a soldier is that people respect you, yes? Fear you. No one just goes and tries a soldier, even if he's shot, yes? Did you know that? Because they have a toughness that people are afraid of. And apart from anything, you know, people have his back. How are you going to explain you went and beat a soldier? I mean, policemen have been killed because they touched a soldier. Like gang wars. Bad stuff have happened because they have people behind them. They are not alone, even though you're seeing them alone. Same thing with the police. Same thing with the armed force. In any country or place. Armed robbers, no. Outside this country, everything. That you don't just shoot a policeman or the heat is on you. Yes? You can shoot individuals, they will search for you, like countries like the US and all that, developed countries. But you shoot a policeman, they bring extra effort to bear on catching you. That you shouldn't even think of touching them. So it's a big deal. Did you shoot a policeman? How dare you shoot a policeman? All the focus will be on you. In the same way, you don't know the power you have if you're in the army of the Lord, not just in the house of God. God has people in his house, his family members. Then he has his fighting men. My God. He has his fighting men. fighting men. Fighting men fight. I've told you about one of those times. And it's not once. These things happen. And I'm praying on the Sunday. I'm standing about to go out. And I think I stood up. And then it came piercing through. Pray now for this person. Some young lady I was mentoring. This would be around 2001. You know. And I kneel down and I pray in the spirit. What do I pray about? I don't know. The information did not come with pictures. You get? Some of you get the evidence with pictures. Me, they used to tell me. So I pray. In the spirit, what's that? Whatever it is, shoot now. Okay, so shoot. Open fire. Soldier, turn, point, aim, fire. I'm not saying I was praying like that. I'm just saying I was praying. I don't shout much in prayer, but I went like that. Even though I did tell the pit on Monday that from now on in this house, because you've been praying this soft, soft prayer, that's why you're able to think of sleeping. Now, you're going to be like a mountain of fire. I'm sure you saw it. Rikundabra. You don't have to be running around, but in one place, you're shaking like that. All that sleep, if you need to be jumping literally, shake that hand. Shake that. I'm not playing, oh. I will be walking around if I see you. Come on. Where do you think you are? Karuba. Why? Not because that makes God answer it better. But the Bible does tell in James chapter 5, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, verse 1. Effectual fervent. The lack of fervency. Do you know how much you've lost due to not being fervent? No power of fervency. That's what I said earlier when I talked about worshiping. You know, sometimes, many times you're sitting down, which is not bad. I knew you didn't grow up doing that. Almost none of you. Which of you grew up going to a church where you sit down and worship? And then, good. So I had to teach you that too. It's necessary. So you can sit in your room, can sit quietly, you can sit in a prison. Hallelujah. Anyway, I had to teach you. How do you know God not send you to prison to evangelize a prison yard? Won't you go? If God says, come, you, come go prison, I want me to evangelize them, will you say no? Oh, this response is very low. Oh! Okay, what if it's one of those foreign prisons where it's nicer than your house? When you're told, soldier, you have your orders. Okay, now. You see all those movies where they send someone to infiltrate a prison? For what? So you wouldn't do it for... Okay, so you see the problem. All of you that are disagreeing, you're a civilian sneaking into a military meeting. I will find you. When I find you, I'll kill you. So, no, but you should be willing. Don't worry, you'll be willing. In the day of my power, my people will be willing. Will be willing. When you see the power working only on those that you're here, there are some of you say, please, can you imprison me here? They say, get out from here. So I hear there's revival, miracle signs and wonders. They say, oh God, go and commit a crime first. There's no space inside here. Yeah, all these things have happened. Revivals in prisons. I've heard of amazing revivals. I have one video somewhere. You know, some revival in America years ago. Another one I think is happening somewhere in South America. Power of God. Amazing stuff. It really depends. David Parson talks about in UK going to that. It was a revival in a prison. You go there. Amazing. Amazing. I mean, the people inside wouldn't want to even come out. The glory of God. Why? Because the ones outside you think are free are the real prisoners. You didn't know? You think you're free because you walk around? How? May God open your eyes that you might see the true state of people. When you see the true state of people, you know that people are not free. You look at them, you think they're free. What makes a person free? Because he can move around. Ha! Oh, Father, open their eyes. You see the kind of change some people are around. You cry for them. We saw a few videos the other time. They can't even barely move. They live from second to second. They are like, God, if I can survive today. And you, You're saying, God, visit me. God is like, how many times? If I visit you again, you float off into the sky. Your freedom is so much. I put this small restraint of lack or one thing like this, or you don't have something you want exactly at once to keep you earthbound. So you remember you're a human being. You don't know. Your heart is light. Your mind is free. What are you thinking of? What worries you? How many of you 2 years ago, or 2.5, 3, you heard me say that my only problem was things like, how much time did I pray today, read my Bible? How many of you remember when I said that? Raise your hand properly. You're here a while ago. You heard when I said that? Good. How many of you put down your hands? When I said it, you went like, your own is good, though. I have real problems. Raise your hand. Good. Now look at all those hands too. Good. Now put that. Now one more time, raise your hand. How many of you, that's your problem now. The same problems I used to have, that's your own problem now. Do you see? 2-3 years, the greatest problem you have is, I didn't pray enough. I didn't read. Every other, you don't even know the problems normal people have again. You don't even know. You don't even know. Your mind does not even go to, are they looking for me? Is she pregnant? Am I pregnant? Do I have this? I'm owing. Your mind, nothing, nothing. Your greatest problem is, oh God, I'm so sorry. I only read one chapter. How? Now, look at, so the problems I had, you now have. But compared, hang around someone, it's contagious. However, who are you going to tell that is a normal worldling and they will say that's a problem? Now you can see it's a thing. Have you considered, how have you seen the problem now that you can't even tell someone, an ordinary person, your problem? Because it's almost as if you're mocking them. Like, what are you saying? Your problem is what? Evangelism, you haven't been doing it enough. Look at you. And if you know it for real, you know it's really a problem. It's not like God is like, but they can't turn that because there are levels of everything. In the days ahead, it will be a new kind of problem. God, you healed only 73, raised 3 dead. Well, no. Not less than 5 people left there in the same condition. God, why? God, why? People, you won't see me for some days. I'm fasting and praying for 12 days. God, why? Who wants those new sets of problems? Receive the new batch of problems. Now, and it will keep going like this till the time is, it's not people, it's cities. And you're like, God, Ahuda does not know God. I must go to Ahuda. That's what worries you. Your city and thing looking slightly moody. They say, what's your problem? Ahuda. So what happened to Ahuda? They don't really know God. I've been so troubled for this now. This one, Ohafia, this one, all of them, the power of God is moving. With all sorts of things are happening, but that Ahuda, there are only 7,000 Christians. The other 22, they just go to church. I'm so troubled. I'm so unhappy. Please join me. These are the problems. You'll be in cities, countries. This is what God is trying to raise. So when you read your Bible next time and read that David went and fought the Edomites and went and fought the Moabites and went and fought the Amalekites, don't go, why were they always fighting? He's a picture of the war we are called to fight. Take the land for the Lord. The whole earth and the fullness thereof belongs to God. He asked in Psalm 108, who will lead me into the fortified city? We saw it the other day. Put it up for me, please. Who lead me to the fortified city? Who? He wants it to be you. He wants it to be you. Try Psalm 108. So Psalm 60, Psalm 108. Similar. Seeing that? Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my watchspot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe, over Philistia will I triumph. Are you seeing all these cities? Is this Israel? Some Gilead, Manasseh, Ephraim, all of them are parts of it. Judah is his lawgiver. They have different jobs. Then Moab, Edom, Philistia. Next verse. All. He wants all. He needs soldiers. Who will bring me into the strong city? God is asking you, who bring me in? Who will lead me into Edom? Verse 9. What is Edom? What is Edom to him? Edom is his washpot. Moab is washpot. Over Edom, he will cast his shoe. Over Edom, he will cast his shoe. Okay? And he now asks you, who will bring him into the strong city? Who will lead him into Edom? The strong city. Strong cities exist. They're called places. Your problem is how to evangelize your roommate, your hallmate. Soon your problem will be how to evangelize cities. After that, there'll be countries. No. We need to take this country. That's what you'll be dreaming of. You won't be seeing people. Be seeing maps. Maps. We've already seen some of these things. And God is asking this question, who will bring me in? Who will bring me in? Are you going to stand out and who is going to? These are the kind of problems we are getting ready for. You can't get ready for these kind of problems as a civilian. It's only soldiers that invade countries. It's soldiers that invade cities. It's soldiers. God needs soldiers, people. Soldiers is what God is looking for. This is the announcement, a reminder this night. Doesn't want bloody civilians. That's what they call it. Civilians are weak and pathetic. They hear crack, they run. Civilians are not made for war. Men of war are those who have seen war. We've been going around in the wilderness. So let me give you a little scripture. Alright? Ha! Do we really need to open these things? You know it's there. Now go and read your Bible, please. Please, let me keep preaching like Paul. They didn't need to open the Bible. They just talked like this and referred to and referenced and quoted. They didn't. I don't know. They'll say, Joel said, Isaiah, nine talk him. So Luke said in the book of Acts, Luke wrote Acts of the Apostles. Luke, the physician, the doctor, Paul's traveling companion, soldier, your orders, between Mount Sinai. The Lord takes you to Mount Sinai. Let me finish that story. That young lady, I prayed, and a few minutes later, she called me that she was coming in from a trip which I didn't know she had taken. She was schooling here in this university. That the vehicle, she said it this way, I'm just repeating her words, said that the vehicle tumbled 4 times. Just finished praying for her without having spoken to her in, I don't know, a week, two, I don't know anything. The vehicle had just tumbled 4 times. What if I didn't pray? What if this soldier said, why? Please, I'm hungry, I want to go and eat. What if he didn't learn to go? Yes, sir. Then you wouldn't pray. Then you hear, have you heard? Your protege is dead. What happened? I've also told these stories. Some, I'm not saying I was responsible for that one. But it came once. Came again 1.5 weeks later. Came again on a Thursday. She was dead by Friday afternoon. Accident. Bam. Not the same person, another person. I wasn't responsible for that one. That one I didn't pray for. I prayed a little, but I didn't even know who it was. I just knew death, 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 death. So yes, there are battles that we seem to lose. I don't know if that was my battle really, or I was just being given information. Later on, even though I beat myself up for it for a long time, but later on it seems I got a memo that said, well, wasn't exactly something you could have prevented watching for. I don't know. God knows that. This is what Paul means when he says we do not judge ourselves. We can't even judge ourselves right. But I do know I was given the information 3 times. And I was certain So I felt the helplessness of it. And of course it was disobedience. And all these are children of God. But if we will be soldiers, we will fight and bring deliverance to people you don't even know. We're even close to. We fought battles for people that don't know us. Deliver them. They'll never tell you thank you. They don't know you. But if you didn't stand in the gap, they'd be dead. Is that too much? Isn't that exactly what happens with real soldiers? The people